This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I've played in one cold game, the Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2 years ago, bro. It was negative 28 with 30, 40 mile hour winds.
Yeah, that's cold.
On the intercom, they came in and was like, hey, anybody in the upper bowl move down to lower bowl for heat purposes. I had a wetsuit on the first half.
Right.
I couldn't feel my leg. It's because the wetsuit is, hey, I'm hot up top and I'm freezing down low because I've sweated a lot throughout everything. Well, the first game I've ever cramped in. I've never cramped a day in my life. I remember I went home to the wife. She's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, not saying like here in this house, but like after season, we're leaving. He was like, okay. Literally right out of season, bro, I broke to Spain and I stayed there for 3 months. I was inspired by being frozen.
That's former NFLer Cam Jordan on his podcast about coldest game he ever played in. That was in Cleveland. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, we could get wind and snow in Green Bay. Cold. Hot temperatures.
Oh, Tua and the Dolphins in the cold wind, huh?
Yep. I saw somebody
get the narratives ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for him.
Get them ready, indeed. I saw somebody point out the Dolphins haven't won a game where the temperature is below 23 since 1992. They're probably
since
haven't
1992.
Played, well, below 23.
Yeah.
Very. I mean, that was the cutoff. So
there are also stats about Tua of like sub 50 degrees that he's like 1 in 10 or something. Like well, there are. I'll have to refine those from. Whenever they would have played the Bills in the snow, although it didn't end up being in the snow. When they wore the red field goal at the end,
yeah.
This is the snowball game.
Right.
More than it was a snow game.
Close games up here. 803-0550. We're going to check in, though, with Pat Hammer to tell us about what's going to happen for Sunday, or at least start to get a better idea of it. Pat Hammer joining us on the Western Hotline. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Snow is a chance of flurries in Green Bay tomorrow. It's going to be chilly. But it doesn't look like a snow game. And there's going to be lake effect around, but where Green Bay and Lambeau sits, it's not in the right spot to get lake effect. So it's going to be cold there and breezy, but I don't think there's too much snow for Tua.
Okay. How about for us?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the focus. So here's the deal. After we get a little rain and snow tomorrow morning, we have a pretty significant lake effect event setting up. This is not Buffalo's event, though. This is going to be kind of the more classic, traditional snowbelt areas that really get nailed with this starting Friday. Now, here's the deal. There are signs that this lake effect band is going to lift north into the South Towns, Orchard Park, and maybe as far north as Buffalo on Saturday, and then it's got to head back south again. And that's the rub. That's the question, is that right now everything's kind of pointing towards this lake effect snow band setting up south of the stadium by kickoff, given that it's a late kickoff. If it was a 425, it may be a different deal, but given that it's late. So right now, could there be snowflakes flying? Absolutely. Is it going to be breezy? Yeah, we're going to see winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. It's going to be cold. Temperatures in the 20s, wind chills 19 to 20 degrees. There is a threat of snow, though. I mean, you can't take that away. Could there be snow falling? Yes, but it looks like that heavy whiteout type stuff, it should be, you know, let's say 20 to 30 miles south of the stadium. But it will be close.
So temps and potential conditions, it sounds like a game where I'm going to be wearing my bibs. Like this is you're going full gear for this one just to be prepared.
Or go like the other guy, go in a wetsuit, then you're totally fine. But it's going to be one of those days. I'm trying to think. You know, kind of like the Miami game 2 years ago when it started snowing in the fourth quarter. I kind of a game like that, temperature-wise. That snow started to come down pretty heavily at the end, if you remember that game. But anyway, yeah, prepare for the chance of some snow flying. But now, in terms of what's on the ground, that's where there could be a range, depending on how this snow band behaves on Saturday. There could be as little as 4 inches in Orchard Park, or there could be as much as a foot in Orchard Park if you're navigating, you know, parking and getting around the stadium. So just prepare to, you know, even though Buffalo's not going to get much out of this lake effect, Orchard Park could leading up to the game in terms of snowfall. But again, I really think it's the snow part should be south. The cold and the breeze, though, for sure.
How about people that are using that thruway corridor? I mean, it's a big travel weekend, right? If you're coming up from Fredonia, Cleveland to this area, or, you know, either way, when will it be the most difficult to go in either direction?
Yeah, Friday for sure. Saturday is going to be, that Cleveland to Erie to Angola is kind of the sweet spot for this. So if you're traveling, I would say any one of those 3 days is going to be tricky. Friday, maybe, if you have to, Friday's probably the best day because temperatures won't be that cold yet, so the snow may not stick to the thruway on Friday, but on Saturday and Sunday it very well could.
All right. I was going to say, like, in terms of the winter as a whole, like, is
long-range models, what do we have? The lake is warm?
And it also, isn't this, like, historic for how long it's gone with before our first snow?
Yes. It's last Friday, we broke the record of the longest we've had to wait to get our first flake. And that was almost a week ago. And we still haven't had one. So we're due. So this isn't unusual. But I will say that this cold pattern that sets up this weekend has some staying power. December games at home, maybe, we're going to be cold and potentially snowy at times right through the middle of the month. So we're due. I think this weather, it probably breaks around Christmas. But, yeah, get ready for just kind of a cold entrance into winter. Even though it's had a really late start, December is going to kind of make up for it, at least the first half of it anyway.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir. Always good to talk.
Yeah, but real quick, has Brock Purdy played in the snow? I know he went to Iowa, so there's a chance he played there. But he grew up in Arizona, so this may, if he does play...
That's a good question.
I might want to... I could find by temperature. I know, like, that's... You can find that. Him in the snow, though, I'm not sure.
Didn't they win in Green Bay 2 years ago, maybe?
That's what I was wondering. Is there a Green Bay game?
The year that they go to the NFC Championship game and lose to the Eagles where he gets the arm injury, they would have won somewhere else, maybe on the road. I'm not sure. I mean, I think it was the opening round, but we'll look into it. All right. Thanks, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
And to you
Happy
too.
Thanksgiving.
Chief Meteorologist... Channel 2 WGRZ, Patrick Hammer. Pat Hammer joining us to give you the rundown on what to expect for Sunday.
Yeah.
Cold. All right. I got to find the bibs. The bibs, let me tell you, it's the best, it's the top five thing I've ever bought.
What are the bibs again? The bibs are the...
Bibs are snow pants.
Yeah.
Where you've decided you're going to take what you wear up top and you're going to wear fully waterproof, Arctic, extreme, waterproof, snowproof pants. It's the best thing you can have at one of these games. Because if you're ever going to sit down, which you might not do that, but if you're ever going to sit down, if you're ever going to walk through snow, there's going to be slush. Also the muck boots. Whoever told me however long ago.
Yeah, muck boots.
That muck boots were the way to go. I geared up and got everything I needed when that Patriots perfect game happened. And I was so ready that, famous last words here, no weather game could ever scare me again. Because that game was unbelievably cold.
You didn't go to the Indy game, though. Or did you?
What Indy game?
The Indy snow game?
I was at the Indy game.
You were at that, too?
Yeah.
That wasn't the moment where you thought, like, this game, nothing can scare me?
No, because...
What would scare me more than anything sitting in the weather also would always be, what am I getting to in my car?
Well,
if my car is buried by the time I get to it after the fourth quarter.
That's a part of it. The Indy game, I left early because I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
I was afraid... I have four-wheel drive. I'm not sure everybody else does. I don't want to spend the night in the
parking lot. It's going to be a mosh pit, and nobody's getting out of here until tomorrow.
Right. But in terms of conditions I think are more difficult to sit in, the two New England games that year, the wind game was by far the worst.
Yeah.
But being in the stands for that, again, where you sit matters. If you sit in the upper deck on the corner, you're probably getting slammed with wind, as opposed to the lower bowl, you're feeling it, but it's not directly in your face. But a game like this, 19 degrees, 20-mile-an-hour winds, like, that's fine. We'll handle it. What'd you find out about Purdy?
I don't think he's ever played in the snow. He's definitely played in cold temperatures, though. But I don't think I have any evidence that he's played in a snow game. And Sal made a good point about, right shoulder, I forgot about that. That was true. He had surgery in the offseason and on it. And if it's going to be really cold, I mean, you might think that, you know, will hurt his chances of playing a little bit.
Yeah.
Stiffness, and even as the game progresses, right? Like, I might wonder how that affects him. So even if he were to play, I really am wondering how effective he'll be. But I almost feel like in my head, I want to. We'll see about like what happens. Again, you can't trust the Niners on this stuff, though. Like what they say about him today, tomorrow, and Friday, I don't know if I want to trust them on it. I feel like in my mind right now, I am almost eliminating the possibility that we are getting a full force Brock Purdy on Sunday.
Yep.
It just feels like even if he suits up, I got to expect there's going to be some limitation. It's his throwing shoulder that he had surgery on, and it's going to be cold, and he missed the last game. I mean, everything adds up to. He might play, but he's going to be limited at most.
And Benjamin Solak had numbers on Christian McCaffrey. So, again, like sometimes we could just watch him play, and other times you could actually check the next-gen stats to see what's going on. And Ben pointed out that, McCaffrey, you can see in the numbers when he hurt his calf. And that the games he's played, speed by game, like his top speed is almost 21 miles per hour when he runs, his max speed. And after injuring his calf, he has not topped 17 once. Like 4 to 5 miles an hour slower. Now, the average speed has come down too. So everything he does, it's the definition of he's lost a step with the calf injury. So, you know, keep that in mind. He hasn't hit a top speed this season equal to his worst game from last season. He's only played a couple, but
he's also kind of up there,
and they just
age-wise.
Extended
him. And we're doing Achilles injuries, right? And what is he? He was drafted how many years ago now? Like 8 years ago, at least. He's 28 years old. Okay, so it's you know not all the way up there. He's not at 30, but he's approaching that age that you would expect where a guy's going to start dropping off a little bit.
Doesn't McCaffrey, by the way, fit in with all of this conversation lately about running backs? Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs. Like McCaffrey, the Niners traded for him, and they paid a lot.
Yeah.
But the idea was, well, he's going to make us better. And if you were someone that says running backs don't matter, you could probably amend the way that you say that. If you stink, they don't matter.
All right.
Look at the teams that somebody put out a very bad faith argument on this. Like the teams that let go of these running backs versus the teams that got the running backs. And it's bad teams let them go and good teams pick them up. But those teams aren't bad because they let the running back go. Think of the career playoff wins for Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Christian McCaffrey before going to San Francisco. And these guys were not on good teams.
No.
And they were the same player. So I almost want to amend it to, of course you want the best players you can, but building at running back as a key part of that is destined to fail.
We'll see if this year is different on that front, because this was the offseason where GMs started acting differently. And there were reasons for that. The cap went up. There weren't receivers on the market. Like, there might have been good reasons. The caliber of running back that was available, like Barkley and Henry, right, and Jacobs. It wasn't, you know, who would have been the top running back a couple years ago that got overpaid? I'm trying to think of the name. But, like, it was top guys. And we'll see if that transitions this year to them winning, because now they are on good teams, right? Like, Henry's on the Ravens. They could make a run.
Sure.
Barkley's on the Eagles.
I wasn't saying a limiting factor. But what I'm saying is once they go into a fully formed team, they can make you a lot better.
Right. But if you're starting from the ground up on it, that's why the point about the Giants is right. The Giants, to me, shouldn't be head in their hands all season long about, oh, I wish we had Barkley. Unless it's just the embarrassment of him doing it on the Eagles in your division. That, I guess, you could care about. But you're not any different if he's on your team right now.
What are the,
you
what
are no different. The Panthers shouldn't regret trading McCaffrey. Like, he's been great for the Niners. What? What do you think? You're going to win one more game over the last 3 seasons if he was on your team? Maybe it is a good point. Maybe, and that's it. You know, I wonder if we're headed for this again this spring. Not to rush this conversation. I'm not even trying to have it right now. Just, I'm predicting that we're headed for a final, you know, stretch of the season here in a playoff where these teams that were already fully formed went in and got star running backs and it looked really good for them. And now, like, the best running back prospect in 10 years is about to enter the NFL draft.
Right.
Jeannie from Boise State,
yep.
Who's on pace for, like, he's already have 30 touchdowns on the year. Like, I wonder if we're gonna circle back around on that talk here.
We've seen some of the, let's look at two differences here. The two running backs that went the highest most recently are Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
And which team had more success quicker? The team that was much more fully formed. I mean, Bijan.
Right, the Lions were already ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Bijan went on a team that had Desmond Ridder at quarterback, and they were not ready.
Nope.
And they were not going to start winning because they drafted an awesome running back. Then they get a better quarterback, and it's, okay, boom. Now Bijan can be used a little bit more. Whereas Gibbs, he was almost viewed as a bit of a luxury pick for the Lions. You don't need that. You just signed David Montgomery. Why do you need that? And the answer is because they want a two-headed monster. And that's all well and good. Like, for the Bills here, what does the running back room look like next year? The exact same? Probably.
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
I don't know if Ty Johnson's back, but James Cook's here for another year, and Ray Davis is here.
Josh Allen called Ty Johnson the best third down back in the league.
Okay.
If he has any say in that, I think Ty Johnson's probably back
next
year.
You keep the running back room together. And,
yeah.
I mean, are the Bills 9-2 because James Cook's the best running back they've had in the Josh Allen era?
No. He's been good.
Yeah.
But that's not why they're 9-2.
Is he the best running back of the Josh Allen era? I mean, you might say LeSean McCoy, but that was brief.
Like the Allen elite era, if we could pin it down to that. I would say yes. Yeah,
you only have to be better than Singletary, and he's more explosive than Singletary. There's no doubt about that. He holds on to the ball more than Singletary.
But
I don't think they're 9-2 because of that.
To me, there might be one anomaly, and even in the anomaly, you could find the same point. A team that built everything around a running back and had it work. Well, I think maybe there's one example.
Currently?
It's over now.
Okay.
It's Henry in Tennessee, isn't it?
Sure, I guess.
Tennessee's mentality as a team, what they did at quarterback, the way they built their offense, like, wasn't everything, the scheme, wasn't everything kind of designed around, we have a generational running back?
Yes.
And they were good, but...
They were good. Hold on.
How many playoff games did they win?
They were good, and then what happened?
They would get to the playoffs and lose.
They traded A.J. Brown.
Oh, right, and they did that.
And then they fell apart. Because he was probably more important than Derrick Henry ever was.
Right.
Because A.J. Brown's more important to the Eagles than Saquon Barkley is.
A.J. Brown really is just incredible.
He is amazing.
He's just really... Like what, he is one of the best... Really, he's probably one of the best five receivers in the
league.
What
took the Titans down and put the Eagles on the next level? It was A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
And you keep adding to that. You had DeVonta Smith. You know, like, the Eagles have a fully formed group of weapons. But if you were to say they're going to lose Barkley or A.J. Brown,
yeah,
like, they'd be in much bigger trouble if they lost A.J. Brown.
Yeah, Brown's two best seasons in Tennessee. So his rookie year, they went 9-7. Then the next 2 years, those were his only other 2 years in Tennessee. Those were their good years. They went 11-5 and 12-5.
Right. One of those years,
and they won the division both times. Then he left, and they won 7.
Right. And also, they didn't win a single playoff game in those 2 years. They did go to the AFC Championship game on a 9-7 season
with Henry.
Yeah.
But even still, right? Like, Henry was and still is a generational running back. He is an all-time great, Hall of Famer, nobody like him. And when a team built around him, they had 1 year where they won a playoff game.
Yep.
That's the max. That's why the MVP conversation around Barkley is going to be insane for the next month and stupid, because, like, what are we going to do is do this again? Are we going to pretend that we haven't had this talk a billion times before about value and, like, taking a running back off a team and putting them on? What happens? Henry's the best at his position in 10 years. One playoff game. You put the 10th best quarterback on a franchise for 10 years. They're probably going to win 5.
Yeah. Larry and Tonawanda before the break. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, Larry.
So I heard you were talking about planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. It's definitely a Thanksgiving movie. It's probably one of my favorite movies of all time, next to Miracle. But some tidbits. So yes, it was definitely filmed a lot in here or here. 219 is where the you're going the wrong way scene is, and then Batavia has the motel scene. But in South Dayton, where the train station is, that's where the Stubbsville scene is at the train station.
Yeah.
And the tunnel, when the train comes out of the tunnel, in the movie, that's actually in where, like, this is my backyard where I grew up in Dayton, New York. Like, we used to hang out on that trestle, and, like, I know that trestle well. And fun fact, the girl in that scene of the train where she's in sitting with Steve Martin on the train. I went to school with that girl. Her name is Denise. And that was fifth grade. And she had the choice, during the filming, it was the school musical going on. And she had the choice of, she was in the musical, chose to be in the musical, but then she also auditioned for the movie. And they were like, well, we're going to pay you for this movie. So she's like, well, I'm going to go do a movie instead of some school musical, right? So, so whenever I see it, I was thinking, I'd message her every once in a while and say, I saw you in the movie again. So, but yeah, that's an awesome movie.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. One thing about that movie, that's a Thanksgiving movie.
I need to rewatch that.
Starting what, Friday, you have full license to shift to Christmas mode. No one can be mad at you, right? You could be in Christmas mode now if you want.
I was going to say, our tree is up.
No, I know. I don't have a problem. But for people that complain about it, Friday is green light across the board.
Friday, you can't complain about it anymore?
That's right. If I throw on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in my house on Friday, be like, what are you doing?
But if you do it on a Thursday, you are.
Yeah, I think you can get away with Thursday, to be honest.
On Thanksgiving, putting on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yes. I think Thursday's fine.
Well, Thursday, you usually wouldn't get that anyway because usually football's
That's right, football's on.
For most households, I would think, at least.
803-0550.
I have the answer on Purdy, by the way. Purdy has the coldest on temperature. I don't have any evidence he's played in a snow game. Actually, no, you can do this by temperature. He's never played in a game colder than 38 degrees.
Okay, so this will be the coldest game
of his career.
College, too?
College, I looked, and I'm through his senior season. I don't see anything.
Okay.
So I could look before that, too.
But are you checking legit temperatures of these games, or are you just saying, you'd see...
No, StatHead has, it categorized by temperature.
Okay, great.
I think it would be temperature... Keep in mind, it's one number for the whole game. I'm assuming that's probably at the beginning of the game.
Whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, he was... The 2022 team he was on, I think... No, he wasn't on this team. Garoppolo played in a 15-degree playoff game at Green Bay, where he did nothing and they won 13-10.
That's right.
But, yeah, Purdy has not played in a game colder than 38
degrees.
Okay, yeah,
Purdy's Green Bay win was in San Francisco. All right, we got to get a break in. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to give us a call, you can join us. How about this? When we come back, there is a team that the coach said Daniel Jones' name did come up.